Welcome to Truvon Talks with Rachel and Linda. It's the end of May, and we've had a lot of rain this week, so we're happy to have refreshment and we're ready for that heat and sunshine to come on down.
Yes, we are ready for the energy to be raised, increased. I feel like all the rain lowers my energy. I move slower. I'm tired, yawning. But if the sun's shining outside, there's a little pep in my step. You know what I mean?
Little pep in her step.
I love it. It helps me. Yeah. So we've got a great topic today on friendship and codependency. How can I be a good friend and maintain a long-term friendship without becoming codependent in that relationship? And I love this topic. I think it's really important. I think so many people struggle with this.
For sure. Friendship without codependency. So first off, let's talk about what is a healthy, secure bond in a friendship. What would that look
Yeah,
like?
that would look like mutual respect, mutual support, meaning that both people are supporting each other. Probably not like at the same time necessarily. What I mean by that is like we're usually not all struggling at the same time. Occasionally that does happen, but like if my friend, right, let's say like Linda's going through something. I can be there for her. And then a few months, I'm going through something. Linda can be there for me. That's mutual support. There's a back and forth. It's not all me, like me being there for Linda or Linda being there for me. And there's no reciprocation of that. That would be codependent, right? Where one person's giving, 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 and the other person's taking, taking, taking.
Because if you want to be a good friend, you're going to show up when that person's not doing their best or they're feeling overwhelmed with life, and you're going to show up for them. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a good friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. So, an example of a codependent friendship for people who are like, what does that look like? How do I know if I'm in a codependent friendship? Would be like, these are just made up names. I chose Kayla and Britt because those are just common names, right? So, let's pretend Kayla and Britt have been besties for years. All right. Britt struggles with her mental health. She's got anxiety. She struggles with relationship issues. She's always going through difficult breakups. And so, with Kayla being her best friend, she really relies on her. She leans on her a lot for support. Okay. Kayla wants to be a good friend. She wants to be there for Britt, right? So she starts canceling plans with other friends and her family members. She starts ignoring her own needs, right? She's putting Brit first. Pretty soon, Brit starts getting upset with Kayla if Kayla needs to take some space or if she tries to set boundaries because it's all just becoming a little overwhelming and stressful, right? Britt starts calling Kayla selfish and claiming that she doesn't care about her. She's not being a good friend. She's not there for her when she needs her the most. That's a codependent relationship now.
Oh, I love that example, Rachel. Excellent job.
Chat GPT.
Love
Gotta
it.
give credit to
Love Chat
Yeah.
GPT. Such a help
Yeah.
to us. So I've had this happen in familial sometimes because I'm a giver. And if you're naturally a giver, what happens to you? Like you in that case, she kept giving and giving, and then
To
there's
the
no,
detriment of herself.
Right. She's not getting enough sleep. She's not doing her own self-care. She's not.
Yeah, she's probably answering phone calls at 3 a.m. when her friend's crashing out, like.
Oh yeah. I've been a listening ear to friends in the past and just been everything to a friend, and just it didn't, there was no reciprocation. I was just the sounding board. So that
Yeah.
example is very good. And when they were through their thing, they disappeared. And I was left feeling deflated, hurt, and basically abandoned in the friendship. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you're going through something and you're like, oh, I've always been there for them. Surely they'll be here for me right now. So you reach out because you need a sounding board. And they're like, oh, sorry, I'm super busy. Oh, wish I could help. We should meet up sometime and talk about it. No follow through.
Yeah.
So disappointing, so frustrating. You begin to feel resentful.
All the things, Rachel. Yes. And then you, when you realize they're not going to show up for you, then you take a step back and you kind of reflect on it. And you're like, well, maybe I was overly present, a little anxious pursuer like, and maybe I was too available to their needs. And then you start reeling it back in, and then they don't show up. They're just, what do they call it? Missing in action. They're MIA, and you're like, well, hey, I've got some things showing up. Would you like to go do an activity with me? And they're not there. And you're like, wow, okay, since I stopped being everything to that person, they disappear. And you're like, oh, okay, what was this relationship? And what
Was
was
codependent.
it? Mm-hmm.
They were using you to meet their every single unmet need. You were
Right.
fulfilling it. Yeah. And when you stopped fulfilling every single, no one should be responsible for fulfilling every single unmet need unless you're a mom to a baby, an actual little baby that cannot meet its own needs.
Exactly. Yes. And Jay Shetty said that in one of his reels or podcasts. He said, the only person that can be everything you need is God and yourself. Like, you cannot look to one person to be everything to you. That's problematic. You're asking that person to be a God. Little G. What happens when you make a person into a God?
If they're not there one time, you're melting. You don't know what to do because you haven't learned how to do anything for yourself. You haven't
That's
learned how to sit in an uncomfortable emotion, make
problematic.
space for that, allow yourself to process and heal. That's such an important skill.
Very well said. Yeah. And you got some more on there, don't you? I'll let you share that. I think
Oh,
you're
I
looking
was just going to
at
say, I think people like prevent themselves, kind of get in their own way, prevent themselves from learning how to sit with an uncomfortable emotion on their own by always relying on someone else.
soothe me, soothe me. The baby, you need to soothe the baby so till he or she learns how to self-soothe. But as a grown adult, you've got to learn to
Some
be,
self-regulation.
thank you, self-regulation.
Yeah,
And
you can't always rely on co-regulation, like for someone else to help regulate you.
yeah, that's what he says. I'll get excited when it connects. And Schwartz says, and you are the one you've been waiting for. That one chapter, he says, as soon as that person isn't meeting that exiled part of yourself, down in the basement, like you guys
Ooh.
start meeting the inner child needs, right? And one part of this person is regulating a part you didn't get met as a kid. And so
Right.
it feels very, very fulfilling, right? In the beginning, you're like, oh my goodness, they hold me, and my parents didn't hold me. That feels so nice. So then you start becoming, like you said, somewhat too codependent on them meeting those unmet needs versus loving yourself. Yeah.
Right.
So that's what strikes up a lot of romantic relationships, he said.
That makes sense.
Don't it? Erotica. Yeah. And when I say erotica, I mean romantic sexual relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that makes sense, because if you, as a kid, you didn't get held or no positive affirmations, and someone steps in and does that, that lights up the exile and brings that part of you to the forefront. And you like that. You like that feeling of not being abandoned or exiled.
Yeah, I feel like this person really cares. I feel like they love me. I'm the attention lets me know that I'm wanted, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then once it settles in and your protectors show back up, then the exile part of yourself gets put back away. Then you start having some codependent. That's the way I understand it. Is that how you understand it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Romantic bond. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and just but like when conflict shows up too, you know, that's like the opposite, feels like the opposite of care. You start to feel threatened and yeah, defensive, and all those wounds surface. They're not feeling healed anymore. They're feeling poked at and like that raw spot we talk about getting rubbed in EFT. Yeah. So
Very
what
good.
should someone do if this is resonating with them, the friendship piece, and they're like, ooh, I think I might be in a codependent friendship or two or three, maybe all of them.
Maybe all of them. What do I recommend to clients? Yeah. Set boundaries. Yeah. Set some boundaries in that relationship. Like, if you find that you're the giver and you start having feelings of resentment for that person, well, you've overstepped. You know what I mean by overstep? Like, you've met the little G God, little God needs for that person, and you've become something to them that only God and themselves should be doing for them. And you're gonna have to pull back, and they you may lose the friendship. You have to
Yeah.
pull back. Yeah. What do you
Yeah.
think, Rachel, they should do in those cases?
I agree. Yeah, there's got to be some pulling back, setting boundaries. Tell people to like, whenever, if you find yourself in a codependent friendship and that friend is asking something of you, give yourself a moment of time to pause. Don't automatically drop everything and be there. There are moments when that is appropriate, and there are moments when that is not. So give yourself a pause to think about what is it they're asking. Like, do I have the capacity myself at this moment to be there for this person? Do I feel obligated to be there? Or is this something that I genuinely and authentically want to do? Support this person right now. If it feels like an obligation, or if it feels like, like you're going through it and you just don't have the capacity to like be there for someone else right now, maybe you've had a hard week. They know, or that maybe they don't know, but like there's just moments when you just don't have it in you. And that's okay. You can still be a good friend and take space and time for yourself.
Well
Yeah.
said. So when you start, you ask yourself, I like that, Rachel, say checking in, hey, do I feel like I'm under some kind of obligation? Does this match what I'm feeling inside? Sometimes we go against that feeling, that gut feeling. No, this doesn't feel right. And I know a lot of people say, and the Bible says, don't be emotionally driven and that kind of thing. That's true. However, your body, it knows when something isn't right. If you're aligned with, whatever you believe in, your maker, creator, for me, it's God and Christ. But if I know I'm aligning with that and somebody's asking me to do something, right, Rachel, like it's something that just doesn't sit right, I just say no. I'm like, no, it doesn't feel, it's not connecting with my spirit here. And people ignore
Yeah.
that. They ignore that little voice there that says, Don't you think your body tells you when something isn't?
That's
Okay.
why it's important to take that pause. Thanks for mentioning that and giving a personal example. Yeah, like your body will tell you if it's safe to lean in or if you should lean away. Yeah.
I was just in my 20s, Rachel. Me and my auntie, we love going dancing. We love to dance.
Yeah.
Our thing. We were down in
Awesome.
Miami, and we were just having. I was 18, just graduated. She took me to Florida, Miami, and we're going to get our groove on. And I don't drink, I don't drug, I don't believe in any of those things for myself. I don't mind people drinking. That's just not mine. That's my conviction.
Yeah.
Well, I love dancing. We were having a great time. We went down this corridor in Miami and went down in this basement. These stairs kept going down. We went there, and there was people with glowing sticks, and there were people with sort of like these masks on, and this was
Ooh,
some
I
kind
want to do
of club.
masks.
Something. It, maybe it was just so dark. I thought they had masks, but there were glowing
Oh, no, they
sticks.
probably did. Some kind of rave, it sounds like. I don't know.
Oh, I couldn't see Rachel. I looked over
Ooh,
my aunt and I
that's
said,
scary.
"This doesn't feel right. I think we feel like my
Yeah,
body."
back up to the surface real quick.
She's like,
Get me out of here.
"Oh, it's fine." My aunt's all, she's so fun, Aunt Mel. And she's like, "Oh, it's good, let's go." And I'm like, "Something doesn't feel right here." And I got us to exit.
Yeah.
Some I just knew, I knew it. I knew in my soul that was not for us. Something was going to happen. And I feel like that's the spirit of the Lord telling us, hey, this dancing's great, and this might turn into something not great.
Find somewhere else to dance, right? That
Find somewhere
intuition.
else. And we did.
I think that shows up for people in codependent friendships when like people, I know a lot of people will tell me like, man, I got this friend and they're like always getting in like the same or similar problem and they're going through it right now, and this is like the sixth time I've like talked them through this issue and I feel really guilty, I feel really bad, but I'm just like so sick of being the person to pick up all the pieces, like every single time this happens. And I've warned them the last four or five times, like, hey, we both know how this is going to end. Please don't do this. And they did it anyway. It's like they don't listen to me. So I'm like, yeah, maybe you don't be there for them this time. Maybe you just communicate to them, like, it hurts me that you're hurting. And this has happened a lot of times before. And it kind of feels like I like told you not to get on that boat because I knew it was going to sink.
Or go in
And
the club.
here it is sinking.
Down.
So
And they get stung again, and you're left
yeah.
like, hey, I've been here for you. I've processed it, right, Rachel? Good example. And you keep getting on the boat. Yes, they think I'm speaking a different language. It popped up on Zoom.
I know.
Confirm
Zoom's
you're speaking
always asking me if I'm speaking English all
English.
day, every
No,
day.
I'm not.
Maybe not.
Maybe we're not.
Yeah.
So that's good. So
Yeah.
if you're friend keeps going through the same thing, coming to you for the same thing, then you're gonna like take a little step back, right? Yeah, take a little pause.
Yeah. What would that sound like? If someone is asking you to be there for them once again, you don't want to ghost them and just not respond because you want to be a good friend. You're carrying so much guilt because you just can't bring yourself to genuinely be supportive. It feels fake.
Oh, like you're like masking and pretending.
Yeah. So, yeah, what would someone say in that moment?
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's those difficult conversations.
Yeah.
Hey, I love you so much. And when I see you hurting like this, it really hurts me. And
Yeah.
for now, I'm going to take a step back and let you kind of figure that out. And when you're ready to go do something fun, give me a call. I want to be here for you, and it just kind of hurts me when it's like this. And that's good, like having those conversations, so the person knows you're not ghosting them, but you're taking a step back. And that's hard because people don't want to disappoint people.
Yep.
That just happened to us this week. We're going to go hiking, my yearly hiking trip with my auntie and my sissy,
Nice.
and love it. And the doggy got pregnant, so she may have to cut it short. So I went ahead and told my sister, like, hey, I feel disappointed and I love puppies. So two things are true at once. She can't help that her trip might get cut short, and that disappoints me and my aunt.
Yeah.
And we love that there's puppies coming.
Yeah.
Two things can be true at once. So
Yeah.
just having those conversations with people without making them feel like they're doing something wrong. Like with your friend, you're like, I'm not doing anything wrong here. I just can't hear the same scenario over and over again. Okay. I love you. And it's hurting me to see you hurt.
Right.
You like
Yeah.
that? It's hurting me to see.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can acknowledge I've tried to be here for you, and I think that we're both just feeling frustrated. Yeah.
So two things can be true at one time. That's something that's that dialectical behavioral therapy. That's the difficult conversations book. All those things is like you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable in relationship, right? Get a little uncomfortable with being comfortable, like Rachel said earlier.
Yeah. Gotta learn to let people experience the consequences of their own choices. You do not have to jump in and rescue them and save the day every single time they have a negative consequence. People have to learn how to deal with that on their own sometimes.
Even if you're a hero type in friendship, your natural inclination is to be a hero and rescue, and counselors, we tend to be like, oh, what can I do to make life better for you?
Yes.
Natural tendency.
Yeah.
And be like, I can't go through this again. Yeah. Because you'll get burnt out as a friend.
Yeah. Get burnt out. At anyone in any position, if you're someone's doing the same thing and experiencing the same consequence over and over and over and not learning from that behavior, yeah, you're gonna get burnt out. You're gonna get frustrated. You're gonna be like, what are we doing?
What are we doing? What are we doing? Yeah. And Rachel, don't you think some people stay stuck? Like some people just stay stuck there?
Yeah, if they don't have the self-awareness
Right.
of like it's like victimhood. I don't like to really like use that term, but I think everyone will kind of understand what I mean by that. It's like life is just, if you're the type of person that life is just happening to me and I don't have any choice, and I'm always the the one that is ending up hurt and have no power over any circumstance like that. So that's kind of what I mean by that. Some people are just unaware of their autonomy. Like life is not actually just happening to you most of the time. You do have some choice.
Well said. Well
You do
said.
not have to get back together with your boyfriend for the seventh time when you have always ended up breaking up. That is a choice, right? Like you that is a choice.
That's a choice. You're cracking me up. So, yeah. Well, okay, that's good, Rachel. So, how would one who feels like the life is happening to them, how would they step out of that? I would recommend doing something to bring about autonomy. Like, what is one thing you could do to step away from what's happening to you? Maybe how to develop autonomy in an individual that's felt like life is just happening at them. I would
Yeah.
tell you to do something extraordinary. Like, you would never go alone to a movie, go alone to a movie. You would never eat in a restaurant by yourself, just having a meal, go do it. Be autonomous.
Oh, it's so nice.
Oh,
Love doing that. Yeah.
yes, love it. So nice just to be alone.
Quiet. Yeah.
Yeah. And like listen to your body and what that feels like. And oh, will people judge me if I'm sitting here alone? Well, it does feel kind of nice. I'm comfortable with me. I like eating alone. This is good. Autonomy. So, your friend, you may recommend that they do something that's outside their ordinary daily life that would help them feel
I like
autonomous.
that.
Yeah. And like Rachel said, if someone keeps repeating the same, making the same choice and having the same consequence, you can't buffer the consequence for them. Rescue them. You've got to step
Yeah.
away and let them kind of experience it.
Yes. And that's a boundary. And I think we've said it before, but the boundary is what you do. That's what you have control over. That's your choice, right? That's how you behave in response to somebody else's actions. A lot of times people think, well, I told them they need to be more respectful to me. I told them they need to appreciate me more and stop doing X, Y, and Z. That's not really a boundary because that's putting it on them. To create, you're asking them to create the boundary. A boundary is the next time you're not respectful to me, I will leave. Right? And then you do that. If they're disrespectful, you leave. You
I
exit
like
the
it.
premises.
I like it.
Yeah, that's the
Exit.
boundary.
That's our new thing, Rachel. We're gonna exit. Exit.
With the thumbs pointing.
Exit.
Yeah.
That means just even getting in your car, driving to the Target parking lot and sitting there. Pull out your Bible or your storybook or just you and your car by yourself. Hey, every time you disrespect me, I'm out. Bye.
But you've communicated that in advance.
Right?
You're not just getting up quiet without saying anything and leaving and not telling them where you're going or, That would be abandonment. We're communicating, right? Because this is a friendship or a relationship, right? So, yeah. Hey. If you're gonna, I don't deserve disrespect. If you're gonna continue being disrespectful to me, I will go home. I will be on my way. And we can continue this conversation when you have calmed down. And are able to communicate respectfully. Have a nice day.
Peace out, man.
Yeah.
That's so true. I love it. So, our listeners or anyone that's listening, we want you to know that a codependent bond, well, we wouldn't even call it a bond, codependent relationship doesn't lend itself towards your autonomy, your freedom to be who you are. It's actually stifling your growth and suffocating you. And it's
Both
also
sides.
both
Yeah.
sides. Thank you. It's hurting the other person. So we want folks to have healthy relationships. And I say all this to say I don't get it right all the time. I step in and rescue. It's just a, you have to check yourself. I mean, just because Rachel and I are counselors don't mean we're doing this rock solid every day. Like
No,
we're
we've still got to self-reflect and process and continue our own work. Yeah.
That big dog, he's just piling, he's just scraping the window right now. He's just big dog
Was
outside. I know I'm having an ADD moment for Rachel because
That's all
he's acting like a baby right now.
right.
So he's codependent on us.
Yes, he's codependent on you. Yeah.
Codependent. The dogs are codependent.
They are. They're like, I'm bored. Entertain me.
Take me to the park, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're gonna let him be have his natural uncomfortability and not attend to him.
So he can learn to entertain himself. Good example. Yeah.
Tied it
Yeah,
together.
we did.
What else
Yeah.
do you want to share with our folks before we go about codependency?
Well, to circle back to earlier when you said you might lose that friendship, like that is something that you might end up having to grieve. No, but you've got to consider you might be better off if the alternative is you continuing to be resentful and frustrated with that person. Like, what kind of friendship is that, and to not feel supported, right? Like you're being a good friend, but you're not receiving friendship in return. That's not fair to you. So, yeah, if you start setting boundaries and that person gets so upset, because that's what people are afraid of. Well, if I say, I feel like I've got to walk on eggshells around them, like if I tell them no or I don't show up, I'm not there for them, they get mad, they won't speak to me for a week. I'm like, well, it doesn't seem like they're responding well to boundaries. And that doesn't mean we just eliminate boundaries altogether. That may mean grieving the loss of this friendship and, yeah, moving on.
Because was it really a friendship?
No. That's a one-sided relationship there. Yeah. You are the friend. You're not receiving friendship in return.
Well said, Rachel. Well said. Yeah. So if you find yourself in a friendship or, a romantic relationship where you're the giver, 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 and you're left feeling deflated, we encourage you to take a step back in what Rachel said. Yeah. Check in. Set some limits on how much you're willing to be there for them.
Yeah. It takes time. It's a process. You're not just gonna like wake up the next day and, be able to do this. It does take some work and some practice setting boundaries and holding, like maintaining those boundaries, over time.
And you'll never get done setting a boundary with someone that will put be a pushover or a bully, emotional bully.
Yeah.
Emotional vampire is going to always try to push that wall down, and you got to know, okay, they're trying to push it down again.
Yep. You gotta stand firm. No means no.
Love yourself. Yeah. And, Sue Johnson taught us a secure dependency is, hey, I'm going to be there for you. You're going to be there for me. We're going to show up for each other and have mutual respect. When you're sad, I'll go in the hole with you and be sad. We'll come out together, or maybe you got to stay there for a while. It's secure
Yeah.
dependency isn't codependency enmeshment. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. Yeah. And secure relationships, there's also conflict, or tension or awkward moments, what have you. That's normal. That's healthy. No two people get along 100% of the time, ever.
Ever.
I just don't think it's possible.
No, we're not God.
Yeah.
We don't love unconditionally in every second of our day. No,
Yeah. Whenever people are like, we never fight, I'm like, but you've been upset with the other person, surely, and you just kept it to yourself. So that's a lack of communication.
That's right. Not communicating doesn't mean there's no conflict.
Right.
Well, I think this was a great little topic. I
Yes.
love.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. Until
Well,
next time.
we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah. Everybody take care.
Have a good
Bye.
summer.